Pastor Darrell is taking care of Pastor Miles Rutherford's house today. His father is very, very ill, so Pastor Darrell is going and filling in for him today. And because of that, I got the call yesterday afternoon, and I am so privileged to be here with you this morning. I just expect God to do something special in this room before we walk out of here. What do you believe today? You believe that? You believe that He can do something special before we walk out of this place? How many of you want to walk in different than when you walked in? How many of you want to walk out of this place blessed and full of His Spirit and full of His power? I believe that can happen. Amen. This morning. God bless you today. Amen. In the stilted language of King James English, in Job chapter 22, verse 12, it states, "Is not God in the height of heaven? And behold, the height of the stars, how high they are." Moffat's translation of this passage of Scripture is more in tune with our times when it simply says, God is on top of everything. And I really believe He is. What do you believe today? Do you believe He's on top of everything? So why has He diminished in the hearts and the lives and minds of so many? It stands as a moot testimony, if you will, to the fact that God has dwindled in not just a few. He has seemingly become more pygmy than mammoth, more minute than monumental, more meaningless than meaningful, more insignificant than significant in so many lives. To so many, He has become too deaf, they think, to hear their pleas. Too blind, they think, to see their plight. His arm too short, they think, to reach them. His heart too small, they think, to be able to love them. Their lifestyle, of so many lifestyles, have displayed the silent witness of their view of God. This world and our society systematically seeks to derail the move of God, not only in our personal lives, but in the lives of our congregations. His name is blasphemed and desecrated. He is defamed, denied, and defiled. The conspiracy of hell is to put a great distance between you and your Maker. And viewing Jesus from afar has contributed to the demise and the concept of who He really is. We find ourselves turning to Him in trouble, but neglecting Him in our triumph. We will make room for Him when the world collapses. However, He can't seemingly elbow His way in our lives when all is well. It's not just the vindictiveness of the human spirit, but it's our warped view of God. The most elementary among us could account for it. Our view of God has definitely decreased in our society. For so many, God has become extremely insignificant in their lives. I have arrived to the simple conclusion today that we as a nation, that we as congregations, that we as individuals are viewing God from too far away. But if we will draw near, and if we will draw close, then we will see God as He really is, and how He really is on top of everything. Do you believe that today? Clap your hands and love Him. When we see God as He really is, we then have the understanding that God can and will do anything we need in our lives through faith. Now, He may not always use the method that we would choose, because the Bible states, and it's emphatic in the statement, that His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. Amen. You know, when you're praying for something, when you're believing for healing, When you're believing for a miracle, your miracle may not always come the way you think it should. It may not always arrive, and I would say it's not going to always arrive when you think it should arrive. But when you put your hand and your trust and your life in Jesus Christ, it will always come at the perfect time. It will always take place when it should. Why? He doesn't do anything that's not perfect. How many of us walked into this house today needing an absolute miracle from God? You're needing something that only heaven can provide for you. Are we honest today? I know we, as preachers, we always ask for the show of hands, and we always, you know, want some type of confirmation, if you will, whether we're connecting or not. But I've lived life 51 years, and I know that the statement I just made, does anyone need something from God? I don't have to have a show of hands, because I understand the way life is and the hands that life deals us on a daily basis. We all need something that only Jesus Christ can provide. There's people under the sound of my voice, you need a financial miracle in your life. Guess what? Jesus can provide financial miracles. Amen. There's people under the sound of my voice today that need healing in their bodies. They need God to heal them. The diagnosis, the prognosis is not good, and you need Jesus Christ to heal your body with that blood that He shed on Calvary. Guess what? You're in the right place to receive exactly what you need from the Lord. Do you believe that this morning? I believe that before somebody walks out of this room today, they're going to receive a supernatural touch from heaven. I believe that He's here, amen, to perform a miracle on the behalf of somebody in this place today. Why don't we praise Him for that right now? Come on, lift your voice and give Him some praise right now. Well over 160 years ago, Samuel F.B. Morse begins to demonstrate the first telegraph. And the message that is sent is simply this: what hath God wrought? In other words, what has He done? He was given credit to God for this invention. Then a little over 100 years later, on July 20th, 1969, as Neil Armstrong steps upon the surface of the moon, he declared, "One small step for man, but one giant leap for mankind." And man had managed to muscle God out of the equation. The reason that some people don't come to Jesus for salvation and others live, amen, their lives overflowing in despair is simply because they have no victory in their life. They have no joy in their life. There's no excitement. There's no enthusiasm. Why? Because we have pushed God out of our lives. So therefore, we live overflowing in despair. We're despondent. We're depressed because we have pushed Him out of the equation of our life. But if we as an individual, if we as a congregation, if we as a nation would make up in our mind that I don't care what it costs me, I don't care what I have to do, I will serve Jesus all the days of my life. And as the song that has been sung earlier, I will put my trust in Him. I will put my faith in Him. I will put my hope in Him, because Jesus Christ is able. Clap your hands and praise Him right now. See, God has been diminished in our lives by the distance. The psalmist proclaimed, "God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. But they that are far from thee shall perish." And it is a good thing, look at your neighbor and say, good thing, Say it again, good thing. It is a good thing for me to draw near unto the Lord. The psalmist had a revelation. Now, if anybody was messed up, if anybody was jacked up on Mountain Dew, it was the psalmist David. If anybody had problems, if anybody had issues, both physically, mentally, in his family, it was the psalmist David. He was jacked up. You don't believe it? Look at his life. Read about it. Man, he was messed up. I know you don't know no folks like that. They live in Augusta. There's plenty of them. Man, I'm going to go on. I got to go. But even the psalmist knew. In his jacked up life, he said, it is a good thing. It is a positive thing for me to draw near unto the Lord. The Simon Peter felt obliged, if you will, to argue with Jesus. Amen. When the master suggested, after they had been out fishing all night long, the Bible even said they were toiling. In other words, they wasn't having a good fishing trip. They must have been fishing like me. You know, when you go fishing, you're supposed to what? Catch fish. When I go fishing, I lose bait. I throw that line up in the trees. I lose my reel. I get mad and I say, let's go to the house. Why? I hadn't even got a nibble. Then there's those guys, every time it seems like their bait or that spinner bait, whatever, touches the surface of the lake, amen, a big largemouth bass will take it under and they pull it in, and I'm sitting there drooling. Because that's not the way my fishing trips go. That's the way it was with the disciples that night, with Peter that night. They'd been fishing all night long and had caught nothing. Here they are, if you will, cleaning their nets, getting the seaweed out, fussing a little bit because they didn't catch anything. And the only thing they caught was maybe a tire. Maybe they caught some debris, but that was it. And they were cleaning their nets. And here Jesus has the nerve. He has the audacity, if you will, to come to them after they fished all night and tell them, launch back out into the deep. Wait a minute, they've been there all night. They fished all night, probably the day previous. They didn't catch anything. They didn't do any good. And here the master is telling them to go back fishing. The last thing they wanted to do was to go back and try again. Their hopes, amen, were that they would not catch anything. But somehow, Peter, if you will, he decided to obey the voice of Jesus. And when they obeyed his voice, what happened? They went back out to the same place where they were fishing previously. And they caught a great amount of fish. So that the vessels, the ships that they were in, were about to sink because of the weight of fish. We find Peter now clamoring, amen, crawling his way back to Jesus just to get close to him. Why? Because he knew that that's where he needed to be. He knew that he didn't need to keep himself removed from the master. He needed to draw back in close to him again. Thomas, he was extremely comfortable, if you will, with his doubt and his unbelief. He called his fellow disciples dreamers, that they were in denial and that they were trying to cover up their failure in that they followed Jesus. Because now Jesus had been crucified. He had been placed in the grave. So Thomas, if you will, is reminding them that, guys, we failed. We're nothing but dreamers. We should have never made the decision to follow Jesus. Thomas also declared under the sound of his voice to them, he said, I will not believe. He said, I will not believe unless I place my hands in his wounds. But Thomas came in close, you see, and he touched the nail-scarred hands. He touched the pierced side. And the only thing Thomas could say after that interaction, after he went face to face with Jesus, was, "My Lord and my God." When Elijah's servant was so fearful at the sight of the Syrian armies, the prophet's cry was that God would simply open his eyes. He didn't ask God to deliver him from the hand of the Syrian army. He said, "Just open the eyes of my servant." And when the servant drew near, he saw the flaming horsemen of heaven and he saw the chariots of God standing guard over his prophet. The highest thing that Job could imagine, if you will, was the stars. So Job said, "God is on top of the stars." Not only is God on top of the stars, and not only was God sitting above the earth, he created them with the power of his word. "Lift up your eyes and behold, he who hath created these things." Consider with me, if you will, the nearest star is approximately 40 trillion miles away from the surface of this earth. The farthest star, if you will, is located 5 billion light years away from where you and I live. There's a star called Antares that is 64 million times. You see, we can't imagine all this. 64 million times the size of our very own sun. There's a star called Epsilon. It's the largest in the galaxy. That is 27 billion times, 27 billion times the size of the sun. And notice this. And when God was ready to take credit for creating the stars, he used only 5 words. And those 5 words was, "He made the stars also," as if it really wasn't no big deal. Let's get on to something else more important. And you think that God shakes and trembles and worries about the things that you and I are faced with on a daily basis? You think God is intimidated by the C word, cancer? You think God worries about the things, or shakes, or is intimidated by the things that you and I are challenged with in the lives that we live? I wish to submit to you this morning, for the next few moments, if you will, and you need to let this statement that I'm preaching, or this subject that I'm preaching today, sink into our lives, that no matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through, no matter what you have come up against right now, presently, in the life that you're living, that Jesus Christ is still on top of everything that you and I face in this world. Come on, he's still on top of it. Come on. I'm here on this Sunday morning to make somebody aware of this fact, that God is on top of everything. I have no clue what's going on in your life. I do not know what you have been encountering in your life. I have no idea of the challenges that you're faced with or what you are currently experiencing. You might find yourself under attack this morning, but whatever you're under, God is still on top of it. I was preaching 3 weeks ago in a church right across town here. I buried my wife yesterday, it'd be 7 weeks. And sometimes doubt wants to sink in. I promise you that. But God led me to preach an encouraging message there on the miracle working power of Jesus. He's still a miracle worker. And at the conclusion of that message, people came down, we prayed, we believed. We had some notable things happen in that room. But when I went to my car, the first thing that hit me was, why didn't he do it for her? Of course, that was the enemy. That was the avenue that I could have taken in doubt and made an excuse for everything God had just previously done that I watched with my own eyes. See, the enemy will use anything and everything to cause doubt in your life, to cause you to think that God's really not on top of everything, that God's really not on your side, that he's really not in your corner. But that's the biggest lie that hell has ever told you, that God is not able to work on your behalf in your life right now. I still believe that God is a miracle working God, and he's able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that we're able to ask or even think. He's able to do things we can't even articulate and even ask him about. I can ask for some crazy stuff. I could pull up them Christmas lists I used to make when I was a kid. And my mama could testify to the fact, man, that boy asked for some crazy stuff. Ain't no way we can buy all this mess. Some of us in this room, even though most of us are adults, we still have crazy imaginations. Quit looking at your husband, wives. I see you husbands looking out the corner of your eyes. Amen. We still, some of us have crazy, wild imaginations, don't we? But that verse of scripture states that he is able to do things we do not even have the ability to ask him for. I can ask him for healing. I can ask him for a financial miracle. Amen. I can ask him for peace in my home. I can ask him for health in my children. I can ask him for all these things. Those things are not hard to ask him for. So if he's able to do things I don't even have the ability to ask him for, how much more is he able to do for me the things that I request of him in faith? This is what I believe. And I'm about to get off course, but this is what I'm feeling in my spirit. I believe that this house, that this church, is one notable miracle away from blowing the walls off this place. That's what I feel deep in my spirit. So I could get up to you and I could preach the rest of this message. We could high-five each other, I guess, if you high-fiving now. I don't even know what to do anymore. I don't know what to shake people's hand or turn around and run the other way, you know, but. You know, I could preach this, I could finish this, we could high-five each other, go to the house, feel good about ourselves, go find somewhere to eat, get our bellies full, get ready to eat all next week, and you can tell I know a little bit about that. So we could do all those things, but still there'd be something deep in our heart and our spirit longing for what Jesus really has, not only for us as individuals and our families, but what he has for this local congregation. One miracle away, I believe it, with all of my heart. I don't know what it is. I wish he would let me know what it is. I'd whisper it in pastor's ear, and we could pray on that one thing. But I believe with everything that is within me, one notable miracle away from these walls blowing off this place and people, amen, doing everything they can to just get into the house of God, to be able to feel the Spirit of God one more time, to be able to feel the presence of God moving and operating in their life. When is the last time you felt such an anointing of God that you didn't even want to leave the house of God? Going to his house with such an anticipation. Going on up on Christmas, what do children do? Amen. They ask of these things of Santa Claus. Ho, ho, ho. Guess who he is? They ask. They're believing. Why? Because they know that more likely it's going to work out for them. And they what? They receive those things. But see, they anticipate. When's the last time we truly walked into the house of God anticipating an absolute miracle that you cannot explain it, but yet when you see it unfold, you can't deny it? I believe you're one away. Amen. We worry about crowds now. I know we do at our church. We've lost over 100 people in a year. I mean, people's disappeared. We have the challenge of this pandemic that we've been dealing with all this year. And yes, it's challenging. Yes, we're having to do things and operate a whole lot differently than we did a year ago. But you know what? I'm so tired of that excuse. If you would just fall in love with Jesus all over again and really get hungry for him all over again, I'm telling you, you're talking about a change not only in your life personally, but you're talking about a change in the atmosphere in your home. Can I just speak candidly this morning in the Spirit? Some of you walked out of hell to get to the house of God this morning, your house. That's not the will of God. Your home should be houses where you could feel the presence of God. Some of you, the miracle that you need today is not a miracle in your physical body. It's not a miracle maybe in your bank account, your finances, your job, whatever. You need an absolute miracle from heaven in your house. He's able to do just that. But he's got to start somewhere. And he can start in you. I don't care if you're a child just living in a house. Nobody goes to the house of God. He can start that miracle in you through your faith. Amen. Maybe it's just a mama that comes to the house of God and gets ridiculed every time she goes. God can start that miracle through your faith if you would just simply believe and understand that he's able to do anything that we're able to even ask him for, and so far beyond that. How large does God appear in your life? Is he towering over your physical pain? Is he towering over your financial pressure, your emotional stress, your strain, your worry? Is he towering over these things? If not, then you're viewing him from too far away. Because he's larger than all of these things. See, I got book, I got chapter, I got verse that alludes to the fact that God is on top of everything. On Patmos, surrounded by the sights and the sounds of death, John the Revelator saw him and declared in the first chapter of Revelation, he said, And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of seven golden candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot and girt, amen, along the paps with a golden girdle, and his head and hairs were white as wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet were like unto fine brass, as if it were burned in a furnace, and his voice as sound of many waters. And when I saw him, John said, I fell at his feet as dead because of the wonder of who he really was. And one of the psalmists said, oh, come and let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. And make a joyful noise to him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all other gods. He's on top of everything. Those things that you're facing in your life, the things that you're encountering, God is on top of it. I will lift my eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. He's on top of everything. I will submit to you today a Savior that's not struggling like you're struggling. I submit to you a Savior today that's not worried as you and I may be worried. I submit to you a Savior that's not hurting like you're hurting. He's not stressed like you're stressed. I submit to you a Savior this morning that no matter what's going on in your life, he is still on top of everything. I would to God somebody would believe that here this morning, that your God is still on top of it. How is it that we find ourselves wallowing in defeat and despair many times, looking at God as if he is somehow small and frail and possibly fragile? He's anything but that. Making the feeble attempt, we will even try at times to measure God, if you will. We at times pronounce him weak. At times, because of things we allow in our life, we pronounce him feeble. But let me say this. Maybe some will agree, others may disagree, whatever. You don't have to have a Bible to arrive to the conclusion that God is great. I said, whoa, I'll even take it a step further. You don't even have to have a church. You don't even have to have a preacher in your life. You don't even have to have a Sunday sermon to reveal to you how powerful God truly is. Now, these things are highly recommended, but you don't have to have these things to receive the revelation of how powerful God really is. All you need is a mirror. If you're going to make the human body, now, I got a lot of that, but if you're going to make the normal human body, let me say it that way. The physiologists say you have to have 58 pounds of oxygen, 50 quarts of water, 2 ounces of salt, 3 pounds of calcium, 24 pounds of carbon, some chlorine, some fat, some more than others, some phosphorus, some iron, some sulfur, some sodium, some potassium, some magnesium, and a few other things on the list. You got to have those things, the physiologists say, in order to create the human body. The human body are comprised of those ingredients, of those things. But God did it with dirt. Think about that. The list that I just read you, he did it with dirt. He took the dust of the earth and formed mankind. And God can't handle my chaos. God can't step to the bow of my storm-tossed situation and speak, amen, eternal peace into it. I believe he's on top of everything. I believe God can handle it. Come on, not only did he stop there. The Bible lets us know that when he saw that, he said, hey, it's good. I did a pretty good job. I'm God. I did all right. But then the Bible says that he reached in the rib. Reached in and pulled a rib from that man. Man, he did a much better job the next go around. Right, ladies? And he formed a woman. He worked another miracle. So much larger, if you will, by reaching in what he just formed with just dirt, pulled out a rib, and made a woman. And when he got finished with that, amen, what did he say? I did a good job. I did all right. I'm God. I do those things. I'm here to tell somebody in this room today, if God can create an entire universe with his word, and if he can form something so complex as the human body with dirt, he can heal you, he can deliver you, he can help you, he can save you, he can do whatever you need him to do, because he's still a miracle working God. Put your hands together and love him right now. He's on top of it. Next time your faith fails, take your cell phone out. How many of you got your cell phones in church? Don't lie. I know it's with you. You have that thing with you before you put your clothes on this morning. If some of you had one waterproof, you would have showered with that thing this morning. I know. I'm the same way. I'm crazy. Next time your faith fails, and you feel doubt trying to creep in, take your cell phone out. Come on, put your cell phone in there. Well, I don't bring that in church. God help you, that lying spirit. Jesus help you. Take a selfie. Look at it. Look at what you just done. Your eyes have over 100 million receptors in them. Your ears, 25,000 vibrating fibers in them. Your body contains 600 muscles, 206 bones, 7 miles of nerve fiber. A heart beating approximately 36 million times a year, pumping over 64,000 gallons of blood. Listen, through 600,000 miles of blood vessels, veins, and arteries. Look at yourself. How can we doubt that? How can we doubt God? You don't need a Bible to realize that he's great. You just need to look at yourself. So complex are we that a postage-sized stamp of just a piece of your skin has over 3 million cells in it, over a yard of blood vessels in it, 4 yards of nerves, over 100 sweat glands, 15 oil glands, and 25 nerve endings. And the evolutionists want me to believe that all of this was a result of the blind forces of nature and an explosion that happened at some time. It would be easier for me to believe that Webster's dictionary was a result of an explosion in a printing plant somewhere, and it just happened. Everything he does is for a reason and it's for a purpose. Don't you think for 1 minute, this is where the enemy will lie to you because of some of your circumstances in life. Don't think for one moment that he doesn't love you and that he does not care for you. See, in society, we're taught we have to measure up. On the job, what happens sometimes, you're going on a new job, first thing in your mind is, oh, number one, can I do this? I don't think I lied on the resume, God help me if I did. But can I measure up? Kids try to what? Measure up at school with their peers. We try to measure up with our friends. It's just something that we all have to deal with. But with him, you don't have to measure up because you never will. He just loves you for who you are, not what you have or what you could have or what you don't have. He just loves you for you. I don't know what you're facing today. I don't want to know. I don't know what you are currently going through in your life. I don't know your trials, your problems, your hurts. I don't know the challenges that you're facing. I don't know the circumstances that lie beyond this day in the future. I don't know those things. But I'm here today to just simply remind you of this. He does. And whatever it is, no matter how good, or maybe how bad it really is or seems, he's still on top of it. Whatever you're buried beneath, he's on top of it. Some of you may have walked in today depressed because of things that are going on in your life. God can heal people and you of depression. God heals depression. God can heal any hurt in this room today. See, how can you preach on healing? I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to preach on healing now more than I ever had in the past. Had a lady ask me a couple weeks ago at the conclusion of the message, and musicians could come and prepare. Amen. As we close here in just a moment. Had a sweet older lady come and ask me. A couple of weeks ago, as I was about to leave and go home from the church I was preaching at close by, and she didn't mean it in a negative way. She, every time we came and my wife was able to travel with me there, she was usually the first one to greet Alicia. She was the first one to come up to her, and most of the time it was ask her for prayer, and Alicia, of course, would pray for her and show her attention and love on her. She always did or tried her best to do. And this lady walks up to me after service and she said, how can you preach on miracles after what has happened in your life? She said, I don't mean to sound negative. I don't mean to try to bring pain up to you and remind you of what had just taken place in your life and your family. So I lived with that girl 28 years. I was together with her 30. All together, we were in college, dating and all that. You know, poor thing, she chased me around. I said, yes. I just got tired of running, but I said, yes. We had a great life. She said, how? After her being sick for all these years and you watching her diminish in her health, how? How can you get up without tears in your eyes and say he's a healer? How can you proclaim that he's on top of everything? And she said, I know. And I actually preached the same message there. She said, how is it that you can proclaim that he has control and he is on top of it? She said, explain that to me. I can't. All I can say is this. I know in whom I trust. I know in whom I trust. And no matter what I go through in this life, I know on the other side of this life, I have an eternal life. I know on the other side of maybe the grief and the heartache that we face down here, oh, there's something so much better waiting for me there. You know what I was able to tell her? I said, I know you're giving reference to her dying. I said, but if Alicia Burdett was ever alive, she's alive today. She's alive right now. Do I cry? Yes, I do. Do I weep? You better believe it. Every day. But you know what I also do? It's giving me a drive that I've never had before in my life. That no matter what I come against, no matter what I face, no matter what I encounter, I'm going to believe in my God more than I've ever believed in Him before. I'm going to trust in Him now more than I've ever trusted before. I'm going to stand on His Word now more than I've ever stood on His Word before. See, my baby's dancing this morning. She's not hurting this morning. She didn't have to take 30 pills this morning. She's with Jesus this morning. So why should I be doubtful? Why should I not be encouraged? Can I be honest with you as we're standing together? Pastor Kristen, I'm a little jealous this morning. Pastor Brian, she may be looking at Jesus right now with her eyes. She may be seeing the Master right now with her eyes. Why? Why would I want to take that from the girl that I love so much? I don't care what you're enduring and facing right this moment. God can turn it around. And it can somehow be transformed in the biggest miracle that you've ever encountered in your whole existence. He's on top of everything. Come on, He's on top of everything. Come on, say it with me. He's on top of everything. He's on top of everything. Why don't we stand together this morning if we can? If you will, I don't know how I'm doing on time. 11:33, I'm going to try to wrap this up real quick. Be mindful of your time. How many of you today would just signify simply with an uplifted hand, not being embarrassed by any means, would simply say this, I need a miracle in my life today. Come on. If you really was to take an evaluation of your life right now, you'd arrive to the conclusion, I need a miracle in my life. If it's not, keep your hands up. If it's not in your personal life, anybody say, I need a miracle in my family. I need a miracle in some of my loved ones. I need something that only heaven can provide. Keep that hand lifted. He sees that hand right now. He knows what it signifies. I know I need both hands in the air. I need both feet in the air, but that would cause a lot of chaos up on the stage. I need him. I need what only he can provide for me. Those with hands uplifted, this is what I want you to do, and I want you to be mindful. You just step down to the front quickly and spread out and do your social distancing, whatever you do. You feel good with that. Why don't we come down quick? Keep that hand in the air. Keep that hand in the air in faith. It's just a sign of faith. You walking up here, I have got nothing to put on you. I got no oil. I got nothing to make things better for you, but I know I have a God that's able. Keep those hands lifted if you're physically able. He knows what it is. He knows the condition. He knows circumstance. He knows maybe the tears that you shed last night, couldn't even sleep because of the weight of the condition, the circumstance, whatever it is, he knows. And I wonder, with peace and triumph beginning to overflow us, we could keep those hands up and just begin to praise and thank him on credit for that which he is about to do in your life. You're sick in body, and you still, even this morning, you feel weak, you're in pain. What I want you to do is simply say this: Lord, I thank you for my healing right now. I thank you for the stripes that were laid on your back, the blood that was shed for my healing. I thank you for it. I praise you for it. I give you glory for that right now. I know you can heal me. I know you can take care of the condition in my body. I'm standing here in faith with hands lifted, saying, God, I thank you. I praise you. I give you glory. Keep praying and believing for that. Those of you who walked up needing a miracle in your house, in your home, Lord, I thank you for the peace that has walked into my house right now. Lord, I dispatch angels. He said, man, he's getting crazy. No, we have power over them. I dispatch angels to the homes of individuals in this room, amen, that need peace in their house, that need peace in their home. I ask that ministering spirits and angels would go before them before they walk out of these doors today. I ask that they would go. I ask that peace would fill that home. I ask that peace would fill that house. God, I ask that your presence would be so overwhelming that everybody that walked into that house would feel the peace and the glory and the manifested power of your presence in that house. He's able. Thank you for it. Praise him for it. Some of you that need financial miracles in your life. Stress on the job, stress at home. Distress. You need relief of stress. I want you to lift those hands high as you can lift them. And I want to speak peace into your life right now. Father, I speak peace into every extended hand right now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I come against and I take authority over the lie of the enemy. I loose your power. I loose your presence. I loose your anointing. And every person that is standing here today with outstretched hands in need of a miracle from heaven, I believe you for it. I'm thanking you in advance for it. I'm praising you on credit for it, because I know that you are able to do the things that I can't even ask you for. Amen. And I wonder, as a congregation, if we could all extend our hands toward heaven and just remind him and just tell him how much we really are in love with Jesus, how much we really are in love with him this morning. I love you, Jesus. I thank you for your Spirit. I thank you for your presence. I thank you, God, because you are my supplier and provider of every need. You are my deliverer. You are my healer. You are my everything today. Come on, lift your voice. Keep your voices lifted. Keep your hands lifted. Let's create an atmosphere in which he can work the supernatural in this room right now under the sound of my voice. We believe you, Jesus. We receive the supernatural. We receive miracles. We receive signs. This is a house of miracles. Come on, why don't we love him right now? Why don't we lift our voice right now? Why don't we thank him right now? I thank you, Lord. 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 I thank you.